Hey, Open Mic Podcast listeners. Want to share your opinions, give me feedback, or tell me what you're thinking? If you do, send me a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send me audio that might end up in future episodes of the podcast. They're the latest feature from Anchor, the platform that I use to make this show. Here are some things that I would love to hear from you. What questions do you have for me? What did you think of the episode? What did you think of the topic? Who should I interview next? Make up a theme song. I don't know. Do your best impression of me. I'll see all of your messages and I might add them into a future episode. Anchor makes that part super easy. You can send me a voice message right now from wherever you're at, wherever you're listening. Just tap the link in my show notes and I can't wait to hear from you. Again, thanks for listening to the Open Mic Podcast. Until next time, cheers and be well and enjoy today's episode.
Yeah, well, LinkedIn is so good at reaching the exact person who's feeling the pain, your exact right customer. But like we mentioned before, on the organic side of LinkedIn, everything needs to be a slow approach. You need to introduce and then get them to know, like, and trust you before they would ever consider opening up their wallet. So that initial touch should be very soft. It should be something like, hey, I bet in your job you feel like this. You probably experienced this problem. Here's a free guide or a checklist or a webinar that's going to tell you how to overcome this, how to patch that pain point. And if you have an offer that really does solve one of their biggest pain points or satisfies a major curiosity that they face, chances are you're going to have a really high conversion rate. And so if you don't have a high conversion rate, there are two things you can check. Number one, check that offer. Make sure it actually is valuable to that audience. And then number two, check your landing page and see if, am I actually giving people enough meat here that they understand what it is that they're going to get when they fill out this form? Or are there any elements on this page that are impeding someone from wanting to actually, like, send their information off? And both of those two things are generally what are going to dictate your conversion rate.
It's time for the Open Mic Podcast with your host, Brett Allen. Broadcasting live from the Bay Area studios, here at the Open Mic, no topic is off limits. And of course, you never know who may stop by. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into episode 138. It's Brett Allen. It's good to be here with you on this beautiful Bay Area Wednesday. AJ Wilcox is on the show today. He is a LinkedIn ninja. Super cool guy. Thanks to Interview Connections for connecting us. We're going to have a great conversation with him here in just a few minutes. He does everything LinkedIn, runs ads, helps you target your audience. He has all the details on Facebook ads, Instagram ads, LinkedIn ads. So if you're a business owner, you're an entrepreneur, and you're trying to funnel people into your business, whatever the case might be, AJ is your guy, and we're going to chat with him. Super cool guy, awesome story. But this will be our last episode for a few days. I'm heading down to Monterey to spend time with my son, so I'm excited about that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Got a new car today to me. I've been without a vehicle for a while, and my good friend and roommate sold me his car, so it's nice to have a vehicle again. Been doing the Uber and bus thing for a while, but those problems are over. Life is great. Super excited. Man, everything is good. So feeling super blessed, super hyped to be on the mic tonight. But a few people have reached out and asked how I've been doing, how things are going, and things are going good. Just lots of life changes. I've talked about it a little bit in brief, and I was actually considering doing maybe a separate episode about that, but then, you know, I changed my mind, but I figured I'd talk a little bit about it here before we bring AJ on the line. So I found out about 2 weeks ago that my company is closing their offices here where I live, and we are moving to a separate location. So it's been a little bit hectic, and I've had to reschedule interviews, shuffle all things around. It's been nuts. And so I'm very backlogged right now with shows and catalogs and all of that sort of thing. So it's been a little bit stressful, to be honest, but everything is okay. I appreciate people asking and just wanting to know what's going on. So the show has definitely continued. And there's not any big changes coming. I'm still working on my YouTube channel. That's been delayed just a little bit as well, just because of all the schedule changes. So I'll be commuting now, but that's okay because I have a car and I'm not stressed out about that. But I just appreciate all the support and everybody who joins in weekly and who listens to the show, who is a big supporter and always offers great words of encouragement and all of that. And I just want to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart to everyone who supports the show. I'm ready for a little bit of a break and gonna, like I said, head to Monterey, spend time with my kid and just do some school stuff with him and just have a grand old time. And we'll be back next week, midweek, with new episodes. I'll have a lot of interviews lined up. As I mentioned a minute ago, I had to shift things around, so I'm having to get creative with my schedule. But we've got some great guests coming up. I'm going to be featuring some superstar podcasters here as well, coming down the pike, some more big entrepreneurs on the show lined up as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. So without further ado, AJ, welcome into the podcast. It's good to have you here today.
Hey, thanks. Super excited to be here.
Very cool. So first things first, a very important question. I understand that you are a massive fan of Texas Roadhouse, correct?
Decently. My last experience wasn't nearly as good, so I might not be going back for a little while, but I do like meat.
Well, that's unfortunate that you had a bad experience, but you know, it happens, I guess, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Very cool. So for those joining in now, AJ is a digital marketer who focuses in on LinkedIn, specifically advertising and all of that sort of thing. The big question is, how did you get started in doing this? Because I know your story, which I find very cool, but our listeners may not be familiar. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with us how this all started for you, as far as going from having a job to not having a job to now becoming pretty massive on the LinkedIn front and in advertising.
Yeah, well, I call myself the accidental entrepreneur because I never had any sort of aspirations of ever owning a business. And I've always respected people in the startup world, really respected entrepreneurs, but never felt like I had the guts to actually go off and do something like that myself. So I've been doing digital marketing for about the last 12 years. And about 7 years ago, I got hired into a fast-growing tech startup that was, you know, in the business-to-business space. And I walk into the CMO on my first day and I lay out my whole marketing plan. And, you know, that includes things like search and social and display. And she says, okay, all that sounds great. Go ahead and execute. Hey, by the way, we just started a pilot using LinkedIn ads. So see what you can do with them. And of course, I saluted and said, yes, ma'am, absolutely. And then I walked out and went, what are LinkedIn ads? Like, they must truly be terrible if I've never heard of them before. But I didn't want to look like an idiot in front of my new boss. So I went and jumped into the platform and started trying to figure things out. And I probably spent, $10,000 to $15,000 on them, not really thinking anything of it, just trying to scale and figure things out. And one of my sales reps came up to me and said, hey, AJ, we don't know what you're doing over here, but we're fighting over your leads. Whatever you're doing, keep it up. And I was like, what's he talking about? So I went and logged into our CRM at the time and, you know, looked at all of these leads he was dispositioning, and every single one of them was sourced from LinkedIn ads, even though that was not the only channel I was running.
Wow. So now I understand that your faith plays a big part in this role as well, which I like, because that is equally important to me in a lot of ways. So I'm curious about how all of that played into it as well, if you wouldn't mind sharing that piece, because I find it to be super important.
Yeah, super happy to share. So this story goes on where I ended up taking that account to become the world's largest LinkedIn ads account worldwide. I had really good relationships at LinkedIn, ran that account for about 2.5 years, and I actually got laid off. And so after 2.5 years of running this account, I went, well, I really like LinkedIn ads. I don't know if it's a big enough niche to support the family. And so I go home and tell my wife with, you know, three kids with one on the way, that I don't have a job anymore. And I kind of have this idea that I want to pursue. And she, you know, we're very financially conservative people. And so she goes, no, you know what, just go get a job. Go start interviewing. So I did. I went and interviewed, and about 2 weeks later, I had 4 job offers, and 2 of them were for way more money than I'd ever, you know, been offered before, which is really exciting. But as you know, we're pretty faithful people, and so I like to pray about decisions, especially big ones. So I prayed about all 4 of these job opportunities, and I got very distinct answers that were, nope, turn it down. nope, turn it down. And it just kept going. And then finally, after being turned down four times, two of which I was really excited about, I went, all right, what about this idea that I've had of essentially consulting people just on LinkedIn ads? And I got the answer that was like, that's what you're supposed to be doing. Pursue it. And so I went to my wife and said, honey, this is what we're supposed to be doing. It's scary as heck. what are we going to do? But this is what we're supposed to be doing. So I never chose this path for myself, but you know, 4.5 years later, I am so glad that this is the direction that I was led down. I feel so fortunate and now super excited to share my entrepreneurial story.
Yeah, I think you're super blessed. You know, when I believe God gives us those specific instructions and we follow that, I think oftentimes the results that we find we're very surprised by, right? Because it's not necessarily what we think is going to happen, especially even with this podcast. It's been the same vein. You know, it started out one way, but it's completely turned into something else, interviewing folks like yourself. So I love that part of the story. I think that's so cool. So another question that I want to ask is, there's so many platforms out there to advertise on. There's Facebook, there's Instagram, all of these different things. Who should consider advertising on LinkedIn specifically?
Well, LinkedIn's going to be a pretty specific audience. So what we found is and we've spent $110 million on the platform and ran over 300 accounts so that I can specifically tell you this. We feel like we've cracked the code, and I don't want anyone to go and waste money. So if you don't fit in this camp, I want to suggest don't try advertising on LinkedIn. So here it is. If you're business-to-business lead gen, where the lifetime value of when you close a customer is over 15K, then chances are LinkedIn ads is going to be a great fit for you. Also, if you're recruiting white collar talent, whether you're recruiting for yourself or on behalf of an agency, it's a really good fit. And then finally, MBA programs tend to work really well recruiting prospective students.
It wouldn't be a place to run ads for like ClickFunnels or things like that, right? If you're trying to promote, I don't know, a podcast and you're trying to monetize or something like that, LinkedIn is probably not the best place to advertise, would you say?
Yeah, I think in most cases, many of us, even if our average lifetime value is under 15K, we probably have a few deals in the back of our mind that are like, if I could nail that company, if this person could be my client, then that would be worth, you know, tens of thousands of dollars and totally be worth it. So in that case, I say LinkedIn ads might be worth it to bag that one or two just massive deals. We can do things like targeting only the exact decision makers at Fortune 500 companies. Okay. So pretty powerful that way, but think of it like a sniper rifle for getting exactly the whales that you want, and you know, leave Facebook as the shotgun approach for spreading your message wide.
Love it, love it. So what is the value in advertising on social media versus Google specifically?
Well, I think this is a really important question to ask because I came from the world of search early on. I mean, I started out doing SEO and Google ads back in the day. And there was something really magical about the way that search works. Someone is asking for something, and then you give them the answer, you give them a solution. And so it's really exciting. I really like the acronym called BANT, stands for budget, authority, need, and timing. And this is a lead qualification model that a lot of sales teams use. So if you break it down, every lead is going to have inherently a score in each of these areas. Search leads are going to come in ranking really high on the N and the T, the need and the timing, because they were looking for you. The B and the A is the budget and authority. So what happens is if you're running search channels like Google, like SEO, like Bing, you're going to get a whole lot of people who are looking for you, so they're ready to close. But the big challenge that your sales team is going to tell you is, like, there's a lot of tire kickers. We're talking to a lot of people who can't afford us, a lot of the people who are not the decision maker. Mm-hmm. So when you start looking at social, especially LinkedIn, where we can say, hey, we don't know exactly what you're looking for right now, but we know that you have the budget because we're targeting the right person and it's a big enough company to afford us. And we know that you're the authority to make this decision. Now you start getting really high quality leads. They may take longer to close, but you know, that's the really beautiful part, especially for these high dollar purchases that LinkedIn does so well.
So you mentioned getting in front of decision makers. I want to talk about that. What are some best practices to get in front of those people? Because obviously I'm in sales as a day job. I sell wine for a living. So I know sometimes it's not, it's business to business. We're a direct to consumer company. So we have leads, warm leads, so to speak, and that we're contacting these people. But from your business perspective, what, again, to emphasize, how do you advise people to get in front of these decision makers the fastest possible way?
Well, I think we inherently understand who our target market is. I mean, if you're selling software that HR people use, it's probably going to be the HR executives who are making this decision. Or if you're selling software to marketing or finance people, you can generally target the people who are actually feeling that pain. But then, okay, of course, they go back to a committee usually internally for these big purchase decisions, and they're gonna involve their superior. They're going to involve someone from finance. They're gonna involve someone from operations. And so it really helps to understand what those committees oftentimes look like. So you can target ads just to the person who's feeling the pain, and then also to that committee who's helping make that decision.
Wonderful. So I want to talk about Google AdWords because you mentioned that as well. So what are some tips and tricks that you can share, and not to give too much away, because we want people to get in touch with you, obviously, to take advantage of your services. But what are some ways to really work that system to find yourself more searchable for companies or businesses or whatever it is that you are trying to accomplish?
Well, hey, you can ask me anything. I'm an open book. I'm not worried about oversharing. this is like what I've done for the last 12 years, and I absolutely love it. And I'm happy to shout it from the rooftops. So with search specifically, you're going to be bringing in these leads that are hot, and sales teams like to work with them because they like seeing, ooh, this deal could close next week. And that's pretty exciting. Of course, if that's all you're sending them, you're going to be kind of burning out the sales team with, I'm talking to a whole bunch of people who can't afford us. And so it's really nice to give them variety. So if you as a business owner or you as a marketer, if you can vary things up by including leads for your sales team that are both search and social as well, it provides enough variety that keeps them thinking, keeps them on their toes. And they never get to complain that, no one can afford what I'm selling. They're getting a little bit of both. So I like variety for sales teams. From a search perspective, those are channels that work really well if you're in an established niche. There are, you know, two or three keywords or maybe more that people just know to search for what you do. But you might be in an industry that's very disruptive where people don't know that you exist and you've got to get that message out to them. Then social does really well because you can say, because of who you are, I want you to see these ads and be able to introduce this concept. So I don't know if that answers your question entirely, but I like variety and I love relying on the type of channel, whether search or social, that really is going to best move the needle for you.
No, it definitely does answer. So we talked about Facebook being the shotgun approach, so to speak. Do you have any thoughts on advertising on Instagram? I don't know if you're super versed in that, but I'm just kind of curious from an outsider's perspective. Are you familiar with those, how those statistics work? Is it worth it? That sort of thing? Or is that more of just an even more targeted niche audience that you would want to focus on?
Yeah, well, Instagram's really interesting because you can use Facebook's targeting to reach them. And okay, we know that Facebook has incredible targeting around B2C, and they have a little bit around B2B as well. So that makes Instagram interesting. Although I don't love Instagram for business to business because it is very visual, and not many B2B companies are very visual. There's a lot of software. There's a lot of, not necessarily the sexy products. And the clicks from Instagram tend to cost a little bit more than they do on Facebook. And as I'm sure you know, with business to business, there's this giant sales process, this giant funnel. And what we're doing is this first touch through social. We're trying to get them to slowly recognize us and then know, like, and trust us. And so as the least amount that I can pay to get someone into that, the top of that sales process of getting to recognize, then know, like, and trust us, the better. And so I really like Facebook. I would eschew Instagram just because the cost, might be two or three times higher. But then LinkedIn's pretty expensive too. I don't want you to think I'm talking out both sides of my mouth. I like LinkedIn because it is incredibly targeted and I can make sure that I'm not wasting on anyone, even though the cost per click is pretty high.
Right. No, I think you're fine. And I mean, obviously there's a bias there because it's worked very well for you. And I think that's fair. You know, I really do, because I think, you know, you go with what you know. And so LinkedIn has proven very successful for you, obviously. And so that's important. So you're good on that aspect. So LinkedIn seems like it's becoming more and more popular these days. It's almost, it's been around for a long time, but it's fairly new, I think, as far as people being able to get on there and connect. What are some do's and don'ts from your perspective on connecting with people and advertising on there specifically?
Well, I think there are three really powerful parts of LinkedIn outside of the ads platform that everyone should be pretty familiar with. Number one, it's the process that I call keeping the lights on, which is ensuring that your profile is filled out. And there's a Pareto principle here, the 80-20 rule, where there are certain things on your profile, if you fill them out, it's the 20% of the work that gets you 80% of the benefit. And so those things are, number one, make sure your image is tight around your face so someone can look at the mobile app and recognize you at a Starbucks if you're, you know, going to go meet someone for the first time. Your headline should not be your job title. It should be, this is the benefit I can provide you. And then your summary, you have 2,000 characters to just tell a story. So use your summary to tell someone who you are and why they should want to do business with you, where you come from, why you're able to help them. And so you do those, you know, 20% of the things, and now you're keeping the lights on. Your profile looks good, and people are willing to come and approach you. Then number two, you have this. Oh, sorry, did you have something to?
No, you're good. I was just agreeing with you. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the next piece is like actually growing your network and reaching out to people. This is something I see a lot, and that people do wrong. So you can buy a premium version of LinkedIn where you can send someone a message that you're not connected to, but
okay.
Those feel kind of spammy. They feel, especially if you're including a sales pitch in there, like people don't like to receive those. So instead, what I recommend is send them a custom connection request first. It's kind of this, I'm asking your permission to approach you in conversation. And if you can come up with a really good reason why someone would want to be connected to you, then you know, they probably will connect 95% of the time. If you just send the generic, I'd like to be connected in your network, or, hey, your profile looks interesting, let's grow our networks together. I mean, just something generic. you may have 50% of people accept that connection request. And that's just, I would much rather have meaningful connections rather than just volume.
So not just contractual relationships. So that brings up an interesting point. So let's say there's somebody on there that you want to connect to. It's not smart to just go right in for the kill instantly, right? You need to build that relationship before you try and pitch them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is B2B sales 101, but it's something that I've had to get to know because I'm a lifelong marketer and I'm the furthest thing from a sales guy. And so because of that, this is like, I had to figure this out. When I connect to someone on LinkedIn or over any sort of social media, it's the first touch. I know if I come right to them with a, hey, we're an ad agency that does LinkedIn ads. Do you want us to run yours? It's going to be this like, whoa, I don't know if we should talk. Like, this feels pretty aggressive. But if you can start a relationship, give someone a good reason to want to have a conversation with you, then eventually conversation will come back around where they say, hey, what is it that you do? And, oh, that's interesting. Maybe we should talk because that might be good for our team. So, yeah, approach carefully.
Love it, love it. So for those who have never used LinkedIn ads before or anything like that, is it something that you can do yourself, or is it necessary perhaps maybe to hire someone like yourself to help you get started and make sure that you do it right the first time?
Well, thanks for that softball pitch. I love it. So they do have a self-service platform that anyone right now can go and open up an account, and it gives you full access, you know, the same access that we have. That being said, the costs on LinkedIn tend to be higher than on other platforms. You're going to pay an average of $6 to $9 per click. So what we've found is if you make a mistake early on just because you're unfamiliar with the platform and you're trying to learn, every mistake is going to be an expensive mistake. So it really helps to work with someone like us who has already made all the mistakes for you. So we know we're going to get you right in and kind of erase that learning curve. But that being said, there really is nothing keeping you from going on and giving it a shot.
Interesting. So I want to talk about that a little bit further because I find it intriguing because I've never used LinkedIn ads in particular, but have considered it. So we mentioned that, you know, LinkedIn is definitely a sniper approach when it comes to advertising and getting things out there. What can people typically expect to spend when they want to run an ad, and how much should they anticipate to spend, so to speak?
Yeah, excellent question. You definitely want enough data that you can say, yes, statistically significantly, this is working, or no, it's not, we should stop. And where we've found that you generally see that statistical significance is in the $3,000 to $5,000 in spend. So if you're working with someone like us where you're going to pay a monthly retainer to work with us, it's nice to be able to spend that in 1 month. So at the end of month one, you can say, yes, this is working, let's scale it, or no, we're going to fire AJ. But if you're running it yourself and you're not in a hurry, there's nothing stopping you from spending maybe less on a monthly basis, and just wait until you've spent somewhere between that $3,000 and $5,000, when you can look and see that there's statistically significantly, you know, there are results here. It's looking good.
So how long can someone typically wait before they start to see, let's say, leads coming in or people showing slight interest, so to speak?
So generally what we see is if your offer is something like, here, join this free webinar or download a free piece of content, that's a pretty low friction approach, and it's one that we quite frankly recommend that people start out with. When that's your offer, you're going to have a really high conversion rate, which means that your cost per conversion is probably going to be in that $35 to $75 range. And so if you've spent $200 or $300 and have no leads up to that point, then I'd go, all right, there might be an issue here. But generally, you start to see leads pretty immediately. I mean, if you've got a 20% conversion rate, it should be one out of every five of those clicks is becoming a conversion for you.
So how can folks increase those conversions from just a click to actually connecting with you and eventually purchasing a product, you know, whatever that might be?
Yeah, well, LinkedIn is so good at reaching the exact person who's feeling the pain, your exact right customer. But like we mentioned before, on the organic side of LinkedIn, everything needs to be a slow approach. You need to introduce and then get them to know, like, and trust you before they would ever consider opening up their wallet. So that initial touch should be very soft. It should be something like, hey, I bet in your job you feel like this. You probably experienced this problem. Here's a free guide or a checklist or a webinar that's going to tell you how to overcome this, how to patch that pain point. And if you have an offer that really does solve one of their biggest pain points or satisfies a major curiosity that they face, chances are you're going to have a really high conversion rate. And so if you don't have a high conversion rate, there are two things you can check. Number one, check that offer. Make sure it actually is valuable to that audience. And then number two, check your landing page and see if, am I actually giving people enough meat here that they understand what it is that they're going to get when they fill out this form? Or are there any elements on this page that are impeding someone from wanting to actually, like, send their information off? And both of those two things are generally what are going to dictate your conversion rate.
So when it comes to writing copy for those ads and all of that, do you help folks out with that as well? Or is that more incumbent upon the business owner to put something out there that makes sense to the reader that would make them want to even click to begin with?
Yeah, so we write all the ad copy for our clients, okay, as long as they want us to. We ask them to give us a landing page with one of these offers and some imagery that we can use. And then we write the ad copy, we plan the A-B tests, we execute, report back, do all the heavy lifting.
So when it comes to advertising on LinkedIn, I know, like, on Facebook or Instagram, I've heard this, I haven't experienced it, that if you advertise, and then all of a sudden you stop, it can throttle your reach as far as how far out your post will go. Do you find that to be true with that or LinkedIn at all, or are they just two completely separate animals altogether?
Yeah, great question. LinkedIn tells you this happens, but I have not experienced it. So this is actually one of my favorite parts about LinkedIn ads is because it's not nearly as sophisticated as other platforms like Facebook, like Instagram, like Google, there's not a whole lot getting in its way. So when you turn something on, generally it's on and it warms up pretty quick. Whereas on Facebook, if I launch a video, you know, I'm probably not going to see what my actual performance is until the third day in when the algorithm catches up. So I think it's It's simple and it's fast.
How should sales and marketers like yourself and other people think about social media leads when it comes to the entire sales process?
Well, I think if your sales reps are used to dealing with search leads, like many are, because so many businesses were founded off of Google Ads, they're used to someone saying, hey, I want this, and the sales rep saying, oh, I heard you want this, let's talk. And if you try to hit someone up who maybe filled out a form and said, I want to join this webinar, and your sales rep goes, hey, you want our software, there's a pretty disconnect and it's pretty high friction. So what you need to do between marketing and sales is have a real conversation where you're saying, hey, this new lead channel that we're using, this is what someone's going to experience. This is who we're targeting. This is what the ads look like. This is what they're going to be wanting to download or engage with. Now you need to customize your approach to make sure you're speaking their language and not just jumping right on them like they're a hot lead, because they won't be yet. We know it's exactly the right person who can afford you and would be able to do business with you. Now you've got to convince them and kind of suss out their problems.
Love it. Love it. So I want to move to the entrepreneur side of things as we wrap up here. What are some lessons learned that you can share with our listeners as an entrepreneur? Things that you wished you would have known, but didn't, that somebody perhaps could have told you?
Well, I mean, if I knew that my business was actually going to be fairly successful, I probably would have hired earlier. But of course, when you're a brand new entrepreneur and you don't know whether or not your family can eat, then you know you're going to play it pretty safe. So I did. I played it very safe. During the first year, I realized I needed help because I was working till 2 a.m. every day and you know losing hair and gaining weight. And so I said, okay, well, I need help. I'm going to try hiring interns. I actually need 40 hours of work, but maybe if I get 2 20-hour per week interns, maybe that's the same thing. And I found out pretty quickly that interns, especially who are students, every time midterms or finals come up,
oh yeah,
they're gone. So yeah. So I realized that during really heavy client need times, I would have no help and I'd be, you know, hitting it hard again. But as soon as I hired that first full-time person, and it took me about a year to get to that point where financially I felt okay doing this, as soon as I did that, I ended up taking my first vacation 3 weeks later, and my quality of life has been significantly better since.
Love it, love it. So do you think that anybody has the entrepreneur gene inside of them and can do it, or do you think it takes a very specific person to pursue that dream, so to speak?
You know what? I don't actually know the answer to that question. I felt for a long time like I love startups. I love entrepreneurship. I would go to these meetups. I would go to networking events where there were these people because the energy just made me excited. But I didn't, you know, possess the level of risk that was necessary to do that until I kind of felt like I was pushed towards it. But I think there are people who maybe don't ever have that desire, and that's okay. I mean, the world needs people. I wouldn't have employees if everyone thought that they could go and start their own business and be the big dog themselves. So I would say there's probably an element of nature and an element of nurture there. But I think anyone can. All it is learning, and running a business isn't the hardest thing in the world. There's a lot of moving pieces, but if you're willing, you can figure it out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So one last question here. I want to talk about just faith in business for you and period. How do you find challenges being a faith-based business owner that maybe other business owners might not face? Or, and this is to the part of the audience who I know are Christian business owners who are faith-based business owners, because I know that's a good part of my audience. What advice would you maybe have for them who might face challenges? Or I know it's kind of an open-ended question, but I'm just curious to hear you riff a little bit about that, because I find this part so interesting.
Sure. Well, faith in business is a really important subject, I think, because they really are not at odds. There are some times that I make decisions in my business because I say, ethically, I don't feel good about that.
Okay.
Like, you know, as an agency, your job is to keep a client as long as possible. And I've worked at agencies in the past where, you know, it was really a tell the client whatever you need to tell them so sure. that they stick around for another month. And I don't feel good about that way of business. That's not the way I want to do it. And I would ascribe that to my faith, but anyone can have, you know, that same moral code or compass that's guiding them. And so I end up making a lot of decisions that are not good for me financially, but I feel really good about as a human. So I think, you know, like I said, whether you've got, you know, whether you are Christian and have faith in something, or whether you're just a business owner, anyone can espouse those same convictions. But I would ascribe them to my faith.
Yeah, and they're definitely not mutually exclusive, I don't think. I think that you can be a faith-based business owner and still make really good decisions. Like, absolutely, you know, and without crossing lines. But even if you're not, I think you can still have a little bit of, you know, conscience, so to speak, and make good decisions, period, no matter what it is or whatever approach it is that you decide to take.
Totally agree.
And I think that's awesome. Well, AJ, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. If people want to get in contact with you or learn more about you or perhaps hire you, how can they do that specifically?
Sure thing. Well, feel free to reach out. My website is b2linked.com. That's the letter B, the number 2, and then the word linked.com. If you fill out that form, you'll come directly to my inbox, and I'm not a sales guy, so I will answer any question that you've got. Happy to help. I'm also on Twitter, WilcoxAJ, and I respond to everything. So if you have any question, hit me up.
Well, AJ, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for the invite. It's been an absolute honor.
All right, episode 138. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I hope you have a fantastic week and weekend. Be blessed, be safe, and we'll be back next week with brand new episodes of the podcast. And again, AJ's information is available in our show notes. Until next time, we'll see you later.
That brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a kind rating and review. It really does help. Until next time, cheers and be well.